say that because he's here among us. He helped me when I was just a young green pastor. Didn't have a clue. I'm still that way, amen. But I was just a young pastor, didn't have a clue, single man, pastoring a church, and just took it on excitement. And Brother Brian coached me and led me and helped me and loved me. His dad became my deacon in my church, and since then, he's been the best friend a man could have. He's prayed for me, encouraged me, loved me, guided me, told me when I was wrong. I appreciate it. And I want you to put your hands together tonight for my dear friend, great pastor, Brother Brian Bowden. Thank you, welcome tonight.
Praise God. My heavens. Ah, goodness. What a day we've had today. Been a tremendous day. If you have your Bibles, go to Mark chapter 14. Going to be in Mark chapter 14 tonight. I've noticed something about this camp meeting is there's been a lot of doctors on this platform in this camp meeting. Tonight you got the patient. Amen. You've had the doctor, now you've got the patient. And so we're excited to be here. I was going to leave lunch today. Man, what a lunch we had, gentlemen. Wow, what a lunch we had. I was going to leave lunch today and go to the gym and spend some time there. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, if you'll just go back to the room, I'm going to spend some time with you. Nothing more sweeter than the presence of our Savior. Nothing at all. I tell you, I'm just excited about what God did today. I'm still feasting off yesterday morning. I can't get over being happy. I'm telling you right now, I can't get over being happy. And I'm so full, so full. All my children were home this weekend. I've got two in college, and then I got one in middle school and one in grade school. And yeah, they're way spread out. I get it. You say, Brother Brian, no, I got it all figured out. Don't worry about it. God had a plan. Amen. And I know tonight that all of them are praying. They're calling my name, knowing that daddy's in the pulpit tonight. And that littlest one, Carol told me the other day, she said, you know, three of them are a good mix. She said, but that baby girl's all you. And I know when I FaceTime her later tonight, I know what she's going to say. Daddy, when you going to be home? When you going to be home? And man, I tell you, I walk through that door and that little blonde-headed tornado will come running. And man, there's just something about it, amen? I can't get away from this. I'm going to say this. I'm going to get right to preaching. Brother Chris, I was a fullback. I know you played football. I was a fullback. So I'm going to blow a hole open for you that you can run through tomorrow night on this topic. Listen, you need to send your pastor to Israel with Brother Chris. And I want you to listen to me. Jason didn't pay me to do this or anything. God dealt with me about this today. Don't ask what it's going to cost us to send him. Ask what it's going to cost you if you don't. All right? Church, don't ask what it's going to cost us to send him. Don't do it. But ask what it's going to cost us if we don't send him. And so I'm telling you, I believe that with all my heart. So there's the fullback holes open. You run through it tomorrow night, son. Amen. Mark chapter 14, you know the story. I'm not going to preach anything new to you tonight. I'm not going to blow anybody's mind with some deep theoretical statement. But if you'll find verse 32 and stand to your feet. And they came to a place. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, set ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter, James, and John and began to be sore amazed. And to be very heavy. And he saith unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little, and fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, the one I depend on, the one I trust in, the one I lean on when there's nobody else to lean, the one who is there when nobody else is there. That's what Abba means. He's my daddy. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, not what I want, but what you will, what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth him sleeping and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? If I had a thought or a title to give you tonight, it would be Destiny's Final Steps. Destiny's Final Steps. Let us pray. Father, in the mighty name of God, we come to you tonight. God, you spoke to me in the room this afternoon, room number 322, there at 91st Street. God, you spoke into my heart that there are men and women in this room tonight that are getting ready to step onto their destiny and be all that you've called them to be and do everything you've called them to do and reach into the greatness that you've aspired their life to be. But God, there are some final steps that are hard. There are some final steps that are difficult. There are some final steps that is going to take some anguish and agony to get through. But when they do, the miraculous, the wonderful power of a mighty God that's going to be displayed upon their lives will be great. God, we love to get to goodness, but we don't want to pay the price of greatness. And so, God, I pray tonight, guide me, hide me, lead me. And God, when I'm done, I don't care whether they amen one word. I don't care whether one soul walks down an aisle. As long as you're pleased, as long as you say, Son, you've been obedient to me. God, that's why we're here. Save the lost. Save them. Heal the sick. No more cancer in that body. God, encourage the discouraged. Father, if there's one that's come tonight that they've been living in the far country, God, been spending some time in a pig pen, God, would you show them your arms are open wide, you're ready for them to come home, and you're ready to run to them. Oh, God, move tonight. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. As you sit down, shake your neighbor's hand and say, man, your hair really looks good tonight. There's one thing I know. I know that the church is the most powerful army on the planet. There's one thing I know. He's still sitting on the right hand of the Father interceding for you and I. There's one thing I know, that every promise that he put in the book, every word that he wrote down for you and I is still yea and amen. I know every one of them is still for you and it's still for me. And I know that we've been called to live in that blessing. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You've got to realize tonight that church, I love Brother Matt, don't you take a back seat to anybody, throw your shoulders back, preach that gospel, son. I'm telling you, that sermon is stole. Listen, they're not going to admit to it, but that sermon's going to be preached in other pulpits, son, what you preach today. And you, man, what a sermon. What a masterpiece of laying down your heart. A powerful word of God. But we have the great power of God, and we are not living to the power that God has placed on the inside of every born again child of God. Do you realize who you are? Do you know who you are? You say, preacher, every time I hear you preach, you talk about us being greater. You talk about us being better. That's because you're the blood-bought church. That's because your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's because He went away to prepare a place for you. And that when He comes again, He'll call you unto Himself. And that where He is, there you shall be also. We are the church of the living God. I know we've got caught up in the religion of it and the politics of it, but we are still the blood-bought church of the Most High God. And Jesus, He's getting ready to do the greatest thing He's ever done. He's getting ready to walk in to what you and I are now blessed with. I'm going to say that again. He's getting ready to walk in what you and I are blessed with. But before He takes His final steps of destiny, He has to go through some things. He has to deal with some things. And when He comes out on the other side of that, He does the greatest thing that's ever been done on planet Earth. Number one, tonight, I want to talk about the press. Number one, tonight, I want to talk about the press. That's what Gethsemane means. It means the oil press. What are you talking about? It's where they would take the olive and they put it in that press and they press down and that juice would come out and that first squeeze in of that olive was the most powerful part of it. Do you understand tonight? The press that we get in is to get the anointing out of our life. Oh, quit saying the devil did it to me. No, the devil's too busy accusing you before the throne of God. The devil's nowhere near you. He's at the throne of God. Go read the book of Revelation. Day and night, night and day, accusing the brethren at the throne of God. The devil didn't do it. God's pressing that anointing on the outside of you. What you got to understand, Jesus couldn't face the whipping post. He couldn't face the crowns. He couldn't face the spikes. He couldn't face the cross without having the anointing pressed out of His body. The church of the living God is in the press right now. And what God is doing, He is bringing our anointing to the top. You can't preach without anointing. You can't sing without anointing. You can't live without anointing. We have to have the anointing of God in our life. Now let me get rid of a lie. But that anointing's for you as preachers. Oh, no, no, no. Every born-again child of God has the same anointing. We may have different callings and we may have different functions, but we've got the same unction from the throne room of God. And you and I have got to understand that when we are in the press, God is getting ready to open destiny up in our life. Man, Brother Mike, you messed me up with that video. I've been messed up ever since. The Scottish Revival, isn't that right? Scottish Revival. A lady gets that Bible. She takes it to her home. That Bible that came out of that Scottish Revival that saw so many different things. She had a baby boy named Donald. That Donald now sits in the White House, and that Bible that came out of the Scottish Revival now sits in the Oval Office. Don't tell me that God doesn't have destiny. Don't tell me that God doesn't know what He's doing. And you say, well, Brother Brian, that offends me. I'm a Democrat. Well, you need to get saved. Amen. Amen. Hold on. Hold on. If you're a Republican, you need to get saved. Hold on. I don't follow a donkey. Last one I knew they rode on, they killed the man that rode it. Amen. And I sure don't follow an elephant. How you gonna feed that joker? But I do follow the Lamb of Lambs, amen, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But you listen to me tonight. There are some steps in destiny that you've got to walk through, and that is the press. Look at verse 32. And they came to a place. And they came to a place. Do you understand? Places are important in the kingdom of God. They came to a place. What are you saying? It was a purposed place. There wasn't another garden that was going to fulfill the purpose. Gethsemane was that purpose place. God knew that it meant oil press. God knew what was getting ready to happen. Do you understand tonight? You're not somewhere by chance. You're not here by chance. You've been brought to a purpose place. Oh, tonight, if we could ever grasp, if we could ever understand why we are where we are. Been purposed. We get frustrated. We get aggravated. Well, it's not happening when I want it to happen. It's not happening how I want it to happen. It's not happening the way I want it to happen. Well, boo-hoo. You're not the architect. You're not the author. You're the servant. You're the son. You're the daughter. But God has architected. God has authored it. And so we've got to understand that when God puts us in the press, it's a purpose place. But watch this, watch this, watch this. I'm going to do more teaching than preaching tonight. But watch this. To produce a purpose product. All the church used to have a product. And its product was the best product. The world didn't used to outdo the church. Listen, I want to tell you right now, our product used to be the best thing around. And people would come from miles around to see it. And they walk into the church house to see it. And I believe we don't need to talk about yesterday because we still got the same power in the church house today. But let me tell you something. That purpose placed is a purpose product. He puts you in that press on purpose. See, and then I don't know why you had to lose your voice. But I know after what I heard tonight, I praise God you lost and found it. Amen. My heaven, she's back. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. And here's what you don't know. You don't know what God was doing while he was pressing. You don't know what God was saying while he was pressing. But you get to see the product of the press. Don't get out of the press. Stay in the press. Why? Because somebody needs the product. Somebody needs the product on the other side of the press. If Jesus hadn't gone through the press, we wouldn't be saved today. Our name wouldn't be in the Lamb's Book of Life today. But he walked through the press. Listen, he asked his daddy, let it go. Let it go. I love how he uses his own words. You ever use your own words against your dad? His own words? I have. I've used, Dad, anybody remember Brian Bosworth? Come on, I'm in Oklahoma. You got to remember Brian Bosworth. Well, my dad told me, boy, as long as I'm paying for the haircut, you're going to get what I want. I saved up some money. I got a Brian Bosworth haircut. Woo! I came home. I said, Daddy. He said, boy, get up to your grandpa's house. He's going to shear you. I said, no, he ain't. He said, why? I said, because you said that when I could pay for my own haircuts, I could get it cut the way I wanted. Your money didn't pay for this. My money did. Hey, man. Boy, I thought I was high cotton, son. Guess what? I went to Papa's house and got my head sheared. Amen. Amen. And Jesus is telling him, your word says all things are possible by you. He's in the press. He's in the press. It's a purpose place. Yes, it is. It's a purpose place that's going to produce a purpose product. But guys, listen to me. There is also a planned outcome. There is a planned outcome. Do you know Jesus had to go through that? Not because something was wrong with him. Oh, let me say that again. He had to go through that not because something was wrong with him. But there was a plan on the other side of the press. What you're going through right now isn't because something's wrong with you. What you're facing right now isn't because you've sinned. What you're dealing with right now is because there is a plan on the other side of it that's going to bring glory to God, honor to God, praise to God. Worship to God. My heavens. The press. Watch this. Watch this. This is why the devil tries to change the vision of the press to hardship instead of travail. Watch this. You get in the press and God's saying, stay there, son. I've got a product coming out of it. I got a plan coming out of it. There's a purpose. And the devil starts going, it's too hard. It costs too much. You can't do it. You're not educated enough. You're not talented enough. It's too hard. You know what? We quit hard things. We quit hard things. Sister Carol's got me on a diet. Hardest thing I ever did in my life. I watched y'all go to the dessert table 6 times today. I sat over there shaking. Glory to God, I didn't go because I knew she's going to call. Did you cheat today? No, I didn't cheat today. Amen. It didn't happen. But you listen to me. It's hard. It's hard. Listen, we'll quit hard things. But if you quit the travail, you will abort the birth. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. I said, the devil wants you to think it is a hardship instead of travail. You'll quit the hardship. And if he can get you to believe to quit the hardship, then the travail stops. When travail stops, that which was going to be born has now been aborted. The very thing, if Jesus had walked away, the plan of God would have been aborted. If Jesus would have said, I can't do it. I know it's possible. But he said nevertheless. But if he had never said it, it had never happened. We never enjoy what we've enjoyed this week. We never feel what we feel this week. But he didn't do it. He travailed through it anyway. But the devil wants you to see it as a hardship. If travail stops, you see, I've already said, I'm going to say it again. If travail stops, then what was to be birth has now been aborted. Abortion is the ending of a pregnancy due to the removing of an embryo or fetus before it can survive outside the womb. An abortion that occurs spontaneously, we call it a miscarriage. When deliberate steps are taken to end the pregnancy, it is called an induced abortion. Or less frequently, it is known as an induced miscarriage. The devil wants you to quit because he knows the seed of God that's on the inside of you that is going to change lives and nations and churches and people. Those lives that are going to be changed, those lives that are going to be turned upside down, those lives. Tom Ballard, if you'd have quit, I couldn't have stood on your shoulders. But today I get to preach standing on your shoulders. I get to preach because of the foundation you laid. I get to tell the gospel because you stood through it. You went through the press. And now a younger man, I'm not young anymore, but I'm younger. And now a younger man can stand. And now, Grant, you can come along, climb on top of my shoulders. And amen. We're speaking metaphorically. Understand that tonight, son. And you can stand, and there's going to come somebody after you, and somebody after him, and somebody after him. But if we quit in the press, we abort the very seed of God. I've wondered how many abortions have killed the doctor that was going to cure cancer. I wonder how many mistakes that God was going to turn into miracles. Amen. That God, how many Billy Grahams have died? You understand? There's not a war to kill more life. In fact, you put all the wars together, all the drunk driving deaths together, you don't even come close to the amount of deaths that physical abortions have created in this nation. But you listen to me. As I was studying this word, God spoke to me and said, it doesn't even come close. The billions that have been aborted doesn't even come close to my plans that have been aborted. That it got too hard. It got too difficult. They weren't willing to pay the price. They weren't willing to step out and do what God called them to do. And so tonight, I've just come by to tell you, don't give up. You say, you don't know how old I am. I don't care how old you are. Don't give up. It ain't over yet. Don't stop. It ain't stopping yet. You keep walking in what God's called you to walk in. Preacher, it's too hard. No, you just need His help. You just need His help. When we stop the press, we abort the will of God in our lives. When we stop the press, we abort the will of God in our lives. If the press brought greatness to Christ, what makes us think that we can be a pressless people and still achieve great things? How can we? two knee marks in the dirt, you said. Hewn out on the rock where the arms laid, you said. He's pressing. 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock every night. Mama would get up, walk back to the bedroom and shut the door. She'd get beside her bed and start calling my name. God save my boy. I'd stand at the door and hear her pray. God save my son. God, he's not saved. God save my son. She'd call my brother's name. Save my other son. God deliver them from their sin. I come in one night from misbehaving. I climbed in my bed and I hit cold water on them sheets. I knew instantly what they were because the room started spinning. Mama had got beside my bed, rolled back the cover, cried tears on the sheets of that bed. Cried tears, man. It got to spinning so, I mean spinning. I was about to puke. That room was spinning so bad. I got down and slept in the floor that night. Mama came in the next morning to get me up and said, what are you doing sleeping in the floor? You're going to get spider bit. You can't sleep in the floor. What are you doing? Oh, I sleep better down here, Mama. I sleep better down here. Oh, I did till I got saved. Hey, I ain't slept on the floor since. Glory to God. I want to tell you tonight, you listen to me. Somebody pressed so you could make it through your press. We're not the first ones to be in the press. We won't be the last ones to be in the press. But by the grace of God, I'm going through the press. So when I find my brother in the press, I can help him get through the press. All glory to God tonight. Hold on, child of God. You are the head and not the tail. You are victorious. Dr. Jack used to say, let's call recess and shout a little while. Woo! Woo! Number two, I'm preaching so fast you can't believe it. Boy, I knew this church was anointed. Hallelujah. Amen. I saw the socks, brother. Watch this. That's how we know God's in this meeting. Watch this. The prayer. Listen to me. He had to do it alone. This wasn't a church prayer meeting. This wasn't his closest friends. This is one-on-one. Why? Why, Brother Brian? If two or three agree. Why? Because this was not a PDA moment. This was an intimate moment. This wasn't about public display of affection. See, most of you are fine with PDA. You come to church, raise your hands up, give God a little bit of glory, say amen 10 times, and then you don't ever see him when you leave the house. God is not a PDA God. God is an intimate God. God wants one-on-one time with you. He doesn't just want your public display of affection, in case you didn't know what PDA was. He didn't want your public display of affection. He wants an intimate moment. Watch this. Never saw this, Alan. Never saw this. He took the disciples, all of them. He left them. And he takes three more. And he leaves them. And the Bible says he went a little farther. And he started praying. This is what the Holy Ghost said to me. He said, this shows you three stages of destiny. Number one, you got to leave the crowd. You got to leave the crowd. The crowd is the buddy system. Oh, that old buddy system. That's the crowd. The crowd will amen you. The crowd will wave a hanky at you. The crowd will give you a love offering. The crowd will send coconut cream pie home with you. Come on. Glory's right. I can't have nothing. Eat mine. That's what the crowd will do. But it's that buddy system. Hey, come here. You do something for me, I'll do something for you. You know, you amen me. Now, when you get up in the morning, I'm going to amen you. You wave your hanky, I'm going to wave my hanky. You give me $100, I'll give you $100 back. You know that? That's the crowd. Amen. That's the crowd. And Jesus, hey, this is the good crowd. These are the ones that's walked with him. They watched him raise the dead. They watched him open blinded eyes. They watched him take the money out of the fish's mouth. They watched the little boy's lunch. They watched all that. You got to leave the crowd. Second step. You got to leave the inner circle. Peter. James. That's the who's who of the apostles. That's the three top disciples. That's the one who he loved. He couldn't take them. He had to go a little farther. Listen, we've lost prayer in the church. We've lost private prayer. There'll be no public power without private prayer. Oh, you'll have rattle. You just won't have revival. You'll have a shaking, but there won't be no sanctifying. You know what I'm talking about. We got to get alone with God. We got to spend time with God. We got to, man, I mean, he's praying and capillaries in his forehead's busting. He's bleeding all over himself. He's anguishing. Listen, if he'd have been with the big crowd, they'd have said, don't pray no more. We can't have you die. If he'd have stayed with the three, they'd have been wiping his forehead, trying to clean him up. Can I tell you something? Man, God, you're going to get me kicked out of this place. Intimacy sometimes is messy. None of us look good when we cry. Face gets all morphed. It's not pretty. Snot running out your nose. Amen. Get done. Your eyes all puffy. But oh, what God has done on the inside. What God has done in here. If he'd have stayed back there, they'd have tried to take it over. They'd have tried to done something. But he went a little farther. So we got to leave the crowd. That's the buddy system. You got to leave the inner circle. This is where friendship can cloud the voice of God. Good intentions, bad results. Good intention. Number three is the intimate encounter. You alone with God. God did everything he did just for you. Do you know that this whole book is an intimacy? There's not a Harlequin romance novel that's ever been written that's in any better, any sweeter, any more pleasant than this right here. Man tries to mimic what God did and he perverts it. But God, this whole book from Genesis chapter 1 till the end of Revelation is a love letter to you and I. It's about him wanting to spend time with you. He wants to be alone with you. I said he wants to be alone with you. Brother Brian, why couldn't the disciples stay up? It wasn't their moment. It wasn't their moment. Didn't have anything to do with them. This was about him and his Abba. We don't be critical of the disciples. Don't, listen, we've all been there. We've fallen asleep in church when the preaching's good. I mean, my goodness. I sat in a service here recently. It's wonderful. I'm sitting there dawdling, and I don't even know why. Irritated at my own self. I couldn't keep my eyes open. Wasn't the singing or the preaching. It's me. It wasn't their moment. Their moment was the upper room. They stayed up for that. They didn't go to sleep for that, man. I mean, hey, you know how it started. Somebody close that window. That breeze is chilly. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, that was their moment. But this was his. This was his. They weren't meant to stay up. This was his moment. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The passionate prayer, the fiery prayer, it of a righteous man. Your first prayer has got to be a prayer of repentance. Your first prayer has got to be a prayer to make sure you're right. And then watch what it'll do. Number three, persistence. Persistence. I found something in these verses I never saw before. Persistence. What are you talking about, Brother Brian? Look in your Bible at verse 41. Look in your Bible at verse 41. And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, I'd have been done with them after one. I sure been done with them after two. But he comes the third time and he says, I never noticed, Alan Evan, never noticed that Jesus prayed the same prayer three times in a row. You say, preacher, you're making that up. No, I'm not. Look at verse 39. Look at verse 39. And again he went and prayed and spake the same words. The same words. Father, all things are possible to you. We know the prayer. Goes back, they're asleep. Goes and prays it again. Father, all things are possible to you. Is it possible? Nevertheless, not my will be. We know the prayer. Jerry, he didn't pray it once. He didn't pray it twice. He prayed it three times. He was persistent. He was persistent. We pray it once and we're done. We pray it a couple times and we're done. We make a little prayer. It doesn't happen. It's not the will of God. Well, that's not what His Word says. That's not what His Word says. And the disciples came back and they said, why could we not cast out this demon? We did what you taught us to do. And Jesus looked at them and said, some things come by prayer. In that word, every Fedwell Baptist member hates to hear fasting. Persistent. 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 He prayed. We don't know how long it was. It doesn't tell us. We don't know the span of time, but he's praying and he's praying and he's praying. You say, oh, Brother Brian, you've already talked about prayer. I understand, but you need persistent prayer. We need to pray more and pray more. You want a great church? Make it a praying church. You want great music? Make him praying musicians. You want great singers? Make him praying singers. You want great teachers? Make him praying teachers. Listen, you want a great home? Make it a praying home. You want your kids to be raised and be great? You make them prayer warriors. I'm telling you tonight, we've got to be prayer warriors and we've got to be persistent. You'll never achieve greatness without persistence. It won't happen. It won't happen. It took me 5 years to convince my board to build a building. 5 years. I went to them and said, boys, we're supposed to build a church. Sounds good, preacher. We ain't got no money. I hate that excuse. So I got up in front of the church one Sunday. I said, I got good news. Now I got great news. We got the money to build a new church. Everybody's ears pocked. How many neighbors? Woo! I said, we got one problem. It's still in your pocket. Amen. Amen. I kept preaching it and I kept saying it. I kept preaching it and I kept saying it. I kept preaching it and I kept saying it. I stayed persistent. We finally did it. And listen, God paid it off. I wasn't one of these guys that said, oh, I'm not going to borrow any money. I borrowed every dime of it. Amen. I borrowed every bit of it. You say, why'd you borrow? Because God told me to. And you know what? I paid every bit of it off. Amen. Praise God. You say, preacher, I don't know about that. You don't have to know about that. I got in persistent prayer. God had a plan. God had a product. God had a purpose. Listen, we've got to understand the press comes with prayer and persistence, and we're not going to make our steps of destiny until we go through the press, until we go through our prayer, and until we stay persistent. Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap. We shall. Go ahead, say it. Shall. We shall reap. But that's not where it stops. If we faint not, if we don't abort the will of God, if we don't quit in the press, you got to leave the crowd. You got to leave the inner circle. You got to get along with God. You got to go back time and time. I don't know why Jesus went 3. I don't know why he didn't go 7. I don't know why he didn't go 1. I just know he was persistent. I know he kept going back and he kept going back. And he, wake up. Wake up. Pray with me. Come on. 1 hour. 1 hour. 1 hour. Kept going back. Finally, that last time, all asleep. Go ahead. God's doing something in me. Listen to me. I don't know who this is for, but this is for somebody. If you wait on them, you're going to miss it. I'm going to say it again. The Holy Ghost, I stood right there. He dropped it and said, turn around and say it. If you wait on them, you're going to miss it. Them has stopped the church for a long time. They have stopped the church for a long time. Them and they, I don't know who they are, but they're goats. They're not sheep. They are. You say, what's the difference? A goat butts. A sheep follows. I always know goat from sheep. I do. Hey, we're going to build this new building. But, pastor. Got me a goat right there. Hey, we're going to do this outreach tomorrow. But, pastor. Amen. Sheep don't do that. Sheep hear the master's voice. And they follow. And they follow. And they follow. And they follow. How you know so much about goats? My granddaddy raised them. I love them old billies. Them little billies, they get little, man. You stick your hand on top of their head and they'll wear your hand out. I mean, them little billies get back and boom, they'll, man, I'm telling you. I hated milking them nannies. Oh, my goodness. They're the most peculiar animals on the planet. You don't milk her just right, she'll kick the fool out of you. Man, when I started pastoring, I was like, yeah, I know the sheep from the goat, all right. Hey, man, come on. Yeah, they can kick you. I promise you. If you don't feed that milk. Lastly. Lastly, we see the press, we see the prayer, we see the persistence. But finally tonight, we see the power. Greatness and destiny produce power. Greatness and destiny produce power. We see the power. He walks out of Gethsemane. We see the power. He's leaving the garden. We see the power. I believe it's John 18 and 6. Let me look at my notes real quick. Yeah, it's John 18 and 6. He's done praying. He gets everybody up. They're getting ready to leave. Judas walks in. Kisses him on the cheek. And what does he say? What does Jesus say? Whom are you looking for? We're looking for Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We're looking for the Nazarene. Come on, John 18, 6. What does he say? I am he. Three words. Three words. I am he. What happens? What happened? Boom. They all fall down. Every one of them fall down. If he doesn't go through the press, if he doesn't go through the prayer, if he doesn't go through the persistence, his word has no power. Why? He has power because he's been with the Father. He has power because the seed that was planted on the inside of him has now come through travail and is now being birthed. Now every word rings true. Now every word that's spoken. Now every word that's written. That's the first time we see great power like that. I know he healed the sick. I know he raised the dead. I know he did all that. But he speaks. Watch. Watch. Oh, thank you, God. You said the Smokies this morning. God went, Smokies. I need, they're going to call it Arizona, but I need a canyon right there. There's a canyon. Watch this. Now he's been with him. Now he's had some time with him. This isn't PDA. This is intimacy. Yes. Now they've exchanged some things in prayer that you can't exchange anywhere else.
That's right.
And now he walks out of that moment. And when he walks out of that moment, the same power that his daddy's words had. Now it comes out of his mouth. He prayed three times. He says three words. And when he speaks those three, see, you don't have to talk a lot to accomplish a lot. He says those three words and boom, they fall down. Life, death in the power of the tongue. That's our Father. You said it already today. He said, don't worry about who can destroy the body. Worry about that one that can destroy both body and soul. In your mouth. We'll never be able to do that, and you won't. And you won't. We'll never be able to achieve that. And you won't. And you won't. The banker told me, we cannot loan you the money. 8 o'clock the next morning, he called me and said, we can loan you the money. 4 o'clock the night before, you're not getting it. 8 o'clock the next morning, my bank representative said, this has never happened in the history of me working at this bank. You're getting the loan, Brian. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what happened in the man. I know what happened. He went to bed that night and God got to whispering in his ear. God got to talking to him. I know exactly what happened. You listen to me. When businessmen call you up and say, hey, I got a little bit extra money. Could you use it on your church note? Yeah. Bring all of it you got, baby. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, God will whisper to a sinner to bless a saint. Yes, he will. God has reserved the wealth of the wicked. I don't have time to go there. Your words are powerless if all you have with God is PDA. Watch this as I'm closing. Derek Stennett says he says it five times. I'm not going to say it five times. Intimacy, listen to me. Intimacy creates power in our words. I'm going to say that again. Intimacy creates power in our words, and they become effective and produce what they are intended to produce. I didn't know that as a young husband. I'd say I love you, but all she got was the PDA. Had no power. I love you, baby. I love you, baby. No big deal. Because there was no intimacy privately that created worth on the inside of her. But when I started taking her on dates, and when I started doing things, and when I started making her priority, and when I started, I'd get home at night and I'd see dishes still in the sink, and I'd do what's left, you know. I'm telling you, you want to get a hubba, 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 start doing a few dishes and vacuuming a few floors. Hey, you can call me husband whipped, but I sleep warm at night. Amen. Yes, I do. And the more that intimacy grew, now I'd say, I love you, and you'd see it go, oh, wow. Oh, wow. He loves me. He loves me. Same words. But now they were backed by intimacy. They were backed by spending time. And now that destiny. Why don't I have power, preacher? How much alone time do you have with God? See, here's our problem. I'm going to say this as gingerly as I can say it, but I can't get away from saying it. Here's our problem. We see somebody have something. Parsons, get ready here in just a moment. We see somebody have something. And we say, if I follow the very same procedure, if I do exactly what they do, I'm going to get the very exact same product. Now hold on. And I'm going to say this gingerly. Don't get mad at me. I've got to say this. I have four children. The process was all the same, but they're all four different. They're all four different. They are. They're all four different. They got different makeups, different things they like. I mean, they're all four different. We can't follow the exact process and get the exact product. Why? Because DNA doesn't work like that. DNA doesn't work like that. See, God masterminds it. There are similarities to all four of them. They look like brother and sister, but they're not. I don't have twins that look identical or anything like that. And so they all have similar DNA, but they came out and their strengths and their weaknesses and the amazing thing about them. And see, you're trying to reproduce what somebody else has done. And that's not what God wants for you. God has a specific plan, a specific design. See, here's the great thing about grace. Grace doesn't have to be like Unity. Grace doesn't have to be like Calvary. Grace, name whatever church you want to name. Grace doesn't have to, grace just has to be grace. Grace has its own DNA. Grace has its own greatness. Grace has its own wonder. Grace has its own anointing. Grace has its own, be grace. Watch what God does. That intimacy puts power. I'm standing as the Parsons are coming. I'm standing in Tuxtla Gutierrez in Chiapas, Mexico. I just finished preaching that morning. Preaching with my interrupter, my interpreter. Amen. He finished preaching. 25 people get saved. That's powerful. 25 people gave their life to Christ. And I'm getting ready to go back to the pulpit, and God says, stop. There are people here battling fear. So I turn around, and I look at the pastor. I said, Pastor, the Lord wants me to, if I can say this, do you care? Because when I go to somebody else's church, I'm under his authority right now. Isn't that right, Pastor Mike? I'm under his authority. Whatever he speaks to me, I do, because I rest under his authority while I'm in this house. And so I went to the pastor. I told him, he said, on one condition, he said, they'll want you to pray over them. This is a church of 600 to 800 people. I don't know how many there that day, but we were 600 plus that morning. And I give the call. If you're battling, almost 70% of that congregation walks forward. And I went, Pastor, I can't pray over all of them. There's 300-400 people. He just kind of looks at me. And the Holy Spirit says, have them pray over themselves. So I told him, I said, I want everyone to put your hand on your head. Because that's where the fear starts, is right here in our mind. And I said, I want you to pray that fear. Why? Because we've got to teach our people how to self-feed, how to self-pray, how to self-witness, how to self-worship. They can't just rely on this house. They can't. See, when he gives you the words, because you've been intimate with him. Somebody tonight, you're on the verge of greatness, but you've got the towel right here getting ready to throw it. You walked into church like this tonight. God, if you don't say something, I'm going to let it go. Some of you, it's personal. Some of you, it's family. Some of you, it's the storm of life. Wasn't that good? And life gives us so many storms. My mom broke her femur, has 9 screws in her leg, still in a rehab hospital. My wife and 2 babies, the youngest two were in a head-on collision, and And praise God, all Carol got, she got a fractured nose and a rib displaced, and the others got all the bruising and everything that happened. And so storms, I mean, they just been coming. We the other Sunday, we gave a big offering. God told us to give big, and so we give a big offering, and Hannah comes home and says, "Dad, something's wrong with my car." So then I turned around and gave a big offering to Volkswagen. Amen. And you know, storms of life, they just keep coming, and they just keep coming. And they want you to pick up that tab.
I got a towel.
And the devil, he wants you to get that towel up and say, "You know what? I'm tired. I prayed. I fasted. I believed. I stood on the word of God. I literally put it on the floor and put my 2 feet on it. And preacher, none of it's worked. I'm going to throw in that towel. I can't. I spent all I could spend. Prayed all I could pray. You're getting ready to throw it. God reaches up. Says, "Hold on. Before you throw it, will you come spend some time with me? Will you come let me love on you? Will you come let me tell you, son, I called you. I believed in you. I know what you thought was going to work and it didn't work. But I still got a plan. Keep spending time with me. What you thought was the plan, it didn't work out. And it broke your heart. And it destroyed your dreams. Oh, the reason it did, I got bigger things. You thought that was big. You haven't seen big yet, baby. It's coming. Tonight's your night. If you can stand the travail, you will see the birth. You will see the birth. Stand with me, please. When I count to three, you start singing. When I hit three,